God is good. And I've chosen for a topic today. Actually, it was too big to get in the bulletin. You just got the first part of it. Part number one is a wrench and a worm. Part number two is, Lord, open our eyes. And part number three is, do you understand what you are reading? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's up to you how this comes across, because I really don't know where to begin or how to start, but nevertheless, you've equipped me with all these ideas and words and scriptures, and Lord, it'll have to come to pass through the power of the Holy Spirit, no other way. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. A wretch. What a wretched word is wretch. When you think of a wretch, what do you think about? A pretty sad looking character, isn't it? A wretch. And think of the wretches you may know. I have some people in mind when I think of wretched people. They're in such a state of wretchedness, it's almost like there's no hope for them. Do you know anybody like that? They're just so miserable. Everything has gone wrong in their life. Whatever they touch crumbles in front of them. Nothing ever seems to go right for them, and some of them are Christians. You know any wretched Christians? Unfortunately, I do. Worms. Well, a worm is a pretty small, insignificant little thing. And what does a worm do? Crawls around in the earth, eats dirt. You know, what else do they do? They're just little insignificant things. And sometimes it's good to remember that in the scheme of things, we are nothing but little, small, insignificant little things. And yet, God loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son to die for us. So no matter how wretched you may feel, or how worm-like you may feel, there's hope for you, and there's hope for me. Let's turn to Acts chapter 8, and beginning at verse 26. I'll give you a little time. This is in the middle of a revival in Samaria. Philip is having great success. People are coming to the Lord in crowds, and what a wonderful thing. Now, if you were a preacher and you were in the middle of a revival and all these multitudes were coming to the Lord, and then God said, get up and go to a desert place. I got somebody I want you to talk to. You'd wonder about it, wouldn't you? But that's what He did. So let's look at this. Chapter 8 and 26 says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest, or do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The cure to all that ails us is a clear understanding of thus saith the Lord. If we understand the scriptures, happy are we. if we do not understand what we are reading, then it is an exercise in futility. That is why when we read something, sometimes, do you ever read something and read a whole chapter or two chapters or three chapters and forgot about all of it? Don't even remember a thing about what you read. You understood it while you were reading it. You knew it was the language that you were versed in. Like me, I look at it, and yeah, it's English, all right, but I don't remember a thing about it. I didn't get a thing out of it. How many times have you had to read something over and over and over until finally it dawned on you what he was talking about? Just me. That happens to me. I've read this Bible three times a year since 1969, and I'm still finding stuff that I never thought was there. I never saw it before, but one day I'm reading along, and all of a sudden the light goes on, and I understand it. There are people in the world that are doing very well for themselves. This Ethiopian eunuch had a great job, and he had a great responsibility, and he was an intellectual, and he understood a lot of things, and he came to Jerusalem for to worship, and on his way home, he was reading the prophet Isaiah, and he couldn't understand what it was saying. And he read it, and he read it, and he read it, and the angels were paying attention. And God knew somebody that could explain Isaiah to the Ethiopian eunuch. He just happened to be preaching a revival in Samaria. And so, he came down, and he listened, and he heard. And the angel said, now go join yourself to that chariot. And then he says, do you understand what you are reading? And so the scripture said, where he was reading, the place of the scripture which he read, which is verse 32, was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away. Who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Wouldn't you love to have an opportunity like that? To explain Isaiah and what it means to someone who has no idea what he's talking about. When you come across a hungry heart, somebody who really wants to know the truth, what a joy it is to tell them about our wonderful Jesus. How he did these wonderful things for us. How he can change a wretch and a worm into a wonderful, beautiful Son of God, child of God, king, priest. What a transforming power our wonderful Savior has, that he can take a wretch, amen, and make it into a blessed person. Oh, we are blessed. We know the truth, and the truth will set us free. And some people, although they are not wretched in circumstances, although they have great riches and great power, the people that are walking the halls of Congress, those that have been criticized and put down, some of those are honest seekers after God and really would like to know the truth that could transform their lives and make them better people. We all want to know the truth, or if we don't, we should want to know the truth. And the most important truth that you need to learn is the truth about yourself. How do I stand in God's judgment, in God's eyes? Where do I stand with Him? What is it that I need to change or do to put me in right standing with God? Because He's the only one that can change a wretch into a child of God and give us hope. Now let's go to another situation. Let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6. Chapter 6 of 2 Kings. Something we got to learn here today. No matter how wretched our circumstances, no matter how small we think we are, we serve a great, big, wonderful God. Amen. Who's been so good to all of us, He's always watching over us. A great, big, wonderful God. 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 13 to 17. And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore set he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant went to him. His servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do? Or what shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Sometimes the circumstances of our life overwhelm us. We see the mountain in front of us. We see the problem. We say, how will we ever get through this situation? This disease is incurable. This financial trouble that I'm in is beyond anything. It's impossible to get out of the hole that I've dug for myself. There are so many situations that come to us. It just presses on us. And we see the problem and it looms before our eyes. Lord, open our eyes. Whatever the problem is in your life, whether it is a besetting sin, a habit, or circumstances that are totally beyond your control and you just don't know what to do, remember that God is greater than all of our problems, greater than all of our fears. He is able to move mountains. He is able to perform miracles. He still does heal today. He still does save. He still does these wonderful things because that's what he's about. That's what he does. He is ready, able, and willing to help us in the circumstances of our life. No matter how small we may feel, like a worm, no matter how wretched we may be in our circumstances and in our life, no matter how many things have gone wrong, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. He is greater than all our problems. Greater than all our fears. Greater than any mountain. When we read the scriptures, we find the solution to our problems. We need to understand the meaning of the words that we read. We need to read for comprehension, not just for the sake of reading. You know, reading is a good thing, and I love to read. But if I don't understand what I'm reading, then what am I doing? So we need to pray for understanding. And the way we get understanding of the scriptures is through prayer. Ask God to give you a double portion of the Holy Spirit that you might understand what his word means, that you might understand his perfect will in your life, that you might be able to overcome your besetting sins, those things that you just, habits that you are struggling with. They can be taken away. You can be set free if you will apply the scriptures, your faith, to what you read in the scriptures. If you understand these things, you can be set free. Do you understand what you are reading? He that is in the world, well, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God understands us. God knows our fears. God understands that we are but flesh. But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He did these things. He bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Jesus is the central point of our faith. Without him, it is impossible. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. We understand in part, but one day we will know him face to face. Amen. We're looking forward to the day when God will come, and he will come quickly. Let's go to Romans 12 and 13. Romans chapter 12. Let's read that. Romans. There's some stuff in here we need to understand. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I want to know God's perfect will for my life, don't you? I want to know what he wants me to do. I want to understand what the scriptures say. When you're reading your Bible, have your dictionary close by. There are words there you may not understand. And if you understand the meaning of the words you read, then it will enlighten you. Use all the resources that you can find, other translations. It's important that we compare Scripture with Scripture and understand what words mean, because words are important. It is important that you understand. Here's some more stuff here. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. There's some good advice. But think to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every one of you has faith. And how do we get more faith? We ask, and we use the faith he's already given us. Faith is not something you store up for a rainy day. It's always a rainy day, folks. You need faith every day. And you need to use the faith that God has given you to get to the next level. We want to get to the next level, don't we? Each one of us is at this level, this level. Who knows but God where your level is and where you're going? But we all know the destination. It's getting there. That's the interesting part, isn't it? It's so interesting. It's so thrilling. It's so wonderful to be a Christian when so many around are in despair. They're wretches. They're miserable. And we have the solution. We have the answer. And he is Jesus Christ. Our Jesus can meet all the needs. Here's how we do this. This is how we convey the message. This is how we transform wretches into blessed people. We, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy or let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us watch and wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without dissimulation. In other words, cast it abroad. Don't be prejudiced, or don't just zero in on certain people to love, but love everybody. Love everybody. But it says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Isn't this good advice? This is good. Bless them that persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. This is good. And we need to subject ourselves to the higher powers. Instead of complaining about our politicians, let's pray about them. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for those that we pray for, the policeman, the judge, the school teachers, those that are that are teaching our children. And if they're homeschooled, pray for those homeschools because they're needed today. We want to be the best that we can be. We should conduct ourselves accordingly. Are God's people free from affliction? No. Psalms 34 and 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And how does God regard the afflicted? Job 34 and 28 says, he heareth the cry of the afflicted. God is paying attention to you. You may feel like a wretch. You may feel like a worm. You may feel that way. But Lord, open their eyes that they might see. Amen. And with what feelings does the Lord look upon his children? Like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. That's Psalms 103, verse 13. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And if this is not times of trouble, I don't know what it is yet. But some of you are in the midst of heavy tests and trials. Remember, the Lord will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. Isaiah 43 and 2. David said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And he also said, look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all of my sins. Sometimes we are stopped in our tracks with an affliction or a disease. These are good times to find out where you stand with God and ask him if you have committed any sins to forgive you. And look and see if there's anybody that you need to make it right with. When we have our communion, this is a good time too to make sure that we get it right with our brothers and sisters. Because the Lord will comfort us. David also said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I have kept thy word. Come back to the Bible. Find out what it is that your problem is and ask Jesus to save you, to heal you, to change those things that need to be changed. Christ learned from suffering. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. So Jesus understands what we're going through. In perfecting our character, here's what must come to all. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every one whom he receiveth. Now, it's not a pleasant experience, is it? We don't enjoy the chastening of the Lord. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Help everybody. Work together. Comfort those that need comfort. Job said in the midst of his affliction, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Isn't that wonderful? He is the God of all comfort, and God that comfort those that are cast down. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So anybody that needs help, we can help one another, can't we? And if they need to have something explained to them, if you know the Bible and you can explain things to others, it will make it easier for them. It is good that we sympathize with others in their sorrows. Weep with them that weep. To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friend. Jesus sympathizes with us, and he says, for we do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. Amen. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, some may feel wretched, some may feel very small, very insignificant. Lord, let them know by your Holy Spirit that they are important to you. Put your arms of compassion around them. Infuse them with the comfort of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And heal them in their affliction, Lord, we pray. Lord, there may be some that can't see the forest for the trees. They don't see the deliverance. They only see the problem. Open their eyes that they may see, Lord. Open their eyes. And give them the assurance that deliverance is on the way. It's just a whispered prayer away. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. And Lord, help us who understand these wonderful things of the truth of the Bible, of the truth of the Scriptures, that if there be any hungry hearts that need things explained to them, help us to show them what your word really means. Help us to be a blessing wherever we go. Strengthen your church. Unify your church by your presence. Let your all-encompassing love touch each one here today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.